everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Yale Bulldog Hour. Cap Russ alongside, as always, here until 3 o'clock. And then our great friend Christopher Gabriel will come up. He will bring you all the way to pregame, actually just shy of pregame tonight. I'm not going to put an extra 45 minutes on the docket. He already has a three-hour commit, but that's only I could ask him for. First of all, I ask him to do extra half hours all the time anyway when we do emails. He will be with you 3 to 6, and then shortly thereafter at 6:45, it will be the pregame with the tip-off show at 6:45, the formal pre at 7, and the drop of the ball, if we want to use a hockey term instead of puck, the bouncing of the ball just after 7:30 at Save Bart Center tonight as Fresno State and the Aggies of Utah State will play what is a pretty important game for two teams that may be the only two teams that have a legitimate shot at Nevada in the conference tournament. Q will be with me tomorrow. I just talked to him off air today, and of course Paul was with us yesterday, and those two gentlemen will team up at 6:45. Bring you all the action. The game is on AT&T Sportsnet, and one more time, and we talk about this a great deal in regard to football because we were just talking about the schedule. We know the days in football, but the times, we know the days for some of them. The times and maybe the moves to the weekdays are still contingent upon that pecking order from CBS Sportsnet, ESPN, AT&T Sportsnet, Spectrum Sports, all of that stuff. Well, right now you have a game again tonight that's on AT&T Sportsnet that's down the ladder a little bit from ESPN and CBS Sports Network. It is available here for certain services to bring you the game. That would be DirecTV, Dish, AT&T, UVerse. But as we've talked over and over again about games that are fundamentally for the Mountain States, though, because of the Golden Knights playing hockey, we are part of that franchise area now. The game would have been always on the Internet for you here prior to AT&T Sportsnet being available in the market. Because of that, you cannot get the game on the Internet unless, and I'm going to say it one more time before I bring our great friend Andrew Martin up. We'll talk to Stephen Tremblay later in the hour, by the way. Not going to condone it, but it is a reality. If you can't get out to Save Mart Center tonight for the 7:30 tip, we hope you're there. If you have privacy Internet, which costs $3 or $4 a month, most people are aware of it by now, that will give you a different IP than here in town, then you can get around the geo blackouts that are foisted upon you by certain services. Just throwing it out there, not saying you should do it, just saying it is a reality for those that want to get a hold of somebody on the Internet when you are being blacked out because of your geographic area. All right, that having been said, now we bring up our great friend, the sports director at 24 and 47, host of Bulldog Insider back at 6 o'clock now on Channel 24, and a guy who is just back from a week plus in Atlanta. It is Andrew Martin. Andrew, how you doing?
Doing well, Tony. I am caught up on my sleep and ready to go covering Fresno State Athletics again. And it's funny because you probably saw the same thing I did, but they've officially posted the job for the two openings on the Fresno State football coaching staff. But one of the jobs that's posted is for offensive line coach. Now, Kalen DeBoer was the offensive coordinator. So can we assume that Ryan Grubb has officially been promoted and that now they're looking for Grubb's replacement? I mean, there's been no announcement yet from the university, but that would be the logical deduction.
And that has been our assumption the whole way, you and I on and off the air. And, of course, I've talked to Jackson about it a great deal. And I do want to mention that even though Jackson will be with us for his regular Friday visit, as always this week, he'll be with me tomorrow because it is, incredibly, Andrew, signing day, national signing day, which has been usurped by the early signing day, but we'll still go over the two or three that should sign on the dotted line for Fresno State, and part of our conversation will be just what you're talking about. Yeah, we figure and have figured the whole time that when DeBoer left for Indiana, that since Grubb wasn't going with him, you and I discussed the reasons why, that he would be the offensive coordinator while they would fill in with a different line coach, though obviously Grubb will have a lot to say. I would be stunned, Andrew, given, I would have been stunned before, but now, like you said, with the rhetoric coming out of the university, there's really no other option. This is the way they're going, and I think it is the right choice. I know you agree as well.
Yes, I do agree. I mean, what Ryan Grubb has done with the offensive line has been phenomenal. Plus, We saw it last year when Bert Watts took over for Orlando Steinauer on the defensive side. If you promote from within and there's a good culture there, and obviously it's a talented individual like, you know, Watts was and Grubb certainly is, then there's continuity there. The players like it. You know, the organization likes it. And then all they have to do is just plug somebody into the open position and hope that that person meshes with everybody else. I mean, this is going to be a challenging offseason for, you know, for the Bulldogs and Jeff Tedford especially, because as we know, they had 28 seniors on last year's team, plus Jeff Allison and Mike Bell declared. So you lose 30 players. Then you lost your offensive coordinator. Then you lost your defensive line coach, Jamar Cain, who decided to go to Arizona State. So it's going to be a challenging offseason, and maybe all the pieces are not going to be in place by the time spring ball starts, but they better be in place by the time August 31st rolls around. But Jeff Tedford's a veteran. He's been through this, you know, plenty of times at a couple of other stops, so I have no doubt that he will get the best people in place, and hopefully Fresno State will be raring and ready to go soon.
You're right about the experience and also the success, obviously, the last 2 years. Andrew, I was talking to Paul about it yesterday because, as you know, the schedule was just released a couple hours prior to airtime yesterday. And, again, there are going to be almost invariably time changes, if not date changes, games that are looking at Saturday that might be Thursday or Friday. But you know the order, and as we were talking yesterday, the big upside is the one that says you will not play back-to-back road games in or out of conference. The only time you have two straight, you've got a bye week in between. That's between New Mexico State and conference play in Colorado Springs. The other thing is, and you know this well from being in cold weather areas, the Bulldogs are playing as weather-friendly on paper a schedule as you're going to have when you have mountain crossovers. One of the reasons is only one of the three this year of the three crossovers happen to be on the road. That game is in October in Colorado Springs. Now, you never know there. You can get bad weather. But, Andrew, when you look at this schedule, I kidded with Lepler yesterday, I don't think you guys are going to need a jacket covering Fresno State, right?
Well, you know, I didn't think that I would need a jacket when I was in Atlanta for the Super Bowl, but it got pretty cold there at night. It was in the 20s, I want to say 3 or 4 of the days that I was there, and I was doing live reports for stations all over the country. I was literally standing in one spot for close to 8 hours at a time with, you know, some minor breaks sprinkled in. So it could be cold, and you could be dealing with conditions, you know, up and down or whatever. But, yes, I'm inclined to agree with you, and you and I have talked about this. We knew the conference opponents. We didn't know exactly how it would break down in terms of specific, you know, specific dates, and granted, those could still change with, you know, TV coming into the mix. So a potential Saturday game could move to a Friday, and we don't know, you know, if an afternoon game or a night game, stuff like that. I don't think games will move to Friday because Boise's not on the schedule, and that brings up my next point. This is a very favorable schedule for Fresno State. It is actually kind of unfortunate that the Bulldogs get this schedule right after they're coming off the best season arguably in program history, where they won 12 games. You know, they had a senior quarterback who's from the Valley. Obviously, you know, all the talented players they had, Keyshawn Johnson, you know, et cetera, who are not coming back, because they could do really well with this schedule. But not having Boise State on the schedule, as much as people love to hate the Broncos, it's a rivalry. It's not one-sided anymore. We've certainly seen that over the last few years. I would love to see Boise State on the schedule every year, but I get it, and I get what happens with the crossover. But Fresno State has a winnable schedule in front of it, and if the Bulldogs can replace those, as we just said, 28 seniors, you know, who left, plus two key pieces in Jeff Allison and Mike Bell, I think that they could win. I mean, I don't want to say right now that they're definitely going to win another double-digit amount of games just because of how many pieces they lost, but they could have another very good season. They really can, and it does shape up nicely for them with the travel, with the weather, and also with the opponents, because Fresno State, even a down Fresno State team from the last couple of seasons, and I'm not prepared to say that the Bulldogs are down because they do still have talent at a lot of key positions, but let's say for argument's sake that because they lost all of those pieces, they only win, I'm making it up, 8 games this season. Well, that's still a very good season if they go 8-4. It is kind of unique to have two byes, especially that early in the season, but they'll take it, you know, and they'll do the best that they can with what they've got.
Well, we were talking yesterday about the way the schedule scopes out, and what you're saying, your points are well taken. I mean, all things being equal, if you could take the team that just finished this season past the 2018 year and start this group that we just saw at the Coliseum, Fresno State would probably be favored against USC. That's not going to be the case, and I don't know that the Trojans are, again, reloading, but they've got a lot of reloading to do. Minnesota will come in here, a quality opponent. We know that from last year. But, Andrew, as we've seen over the 2 years of Jeff Tedford, there has been only one loss at home, and that was a game the Bulldogs really gave away to UNLV after storming down the field to score right away, and it was like they thought it was going to be easy, and it turned out to be a loss. I don't know that anybody's going to be able to beat Fresno State at home. So you start to look at the road and say, the what if? What if you get by USC? What if that happens? You have a legitimate chance at not only double-digit wins, but maybe even exceeding what happened in 2018. By the same token, what you're talking about is true. They could start easily 0-2 with those games. You just don't know because of the changes right. in personnel. But this coaching staff has been so cohesive, and everybody's hopeful you're not going to lose any more in this staff around the bend. It is a schedule that is winnable. It's winnable in a variety of fronts. One, you do not see Boise State. The other is, said you only travel once to the Mountain States. You really have a great opportunity, Andrew, and I will ask you the question that comes up the most in email, and that is, are we going to see the momentum of the last 2 years, of the 22 wins, show itself right away? When you look at this schedule, you and I had talked off-air about it, do you have to win at the Coliseum in order for people to show up 40,000-plus against Minnesota, or are they going to be separate entities the way we hope ultimately we're going to see them be here?
That's a really tough question, Tony, just because, I mean, I know from talking to several, you know, to several current players, you know, during the course of the season, to talking with fans and alums, and I'll even use Jeff Thiessen's name out there because we featured him a couple of times during our Bulldogs Give Back series. And the last time I talked to Jeff Thiessen, it was right after the bowl game and right before everyone kind of broke for the holidays. And he said, and he's a former player, obviously, as we know, he said that he's never been this excited for a season opener ever. And this coming from a guy who played at Fresno State, who's been around the program, you know, for 20-plus years, and he said he's never been this excited for a season opener in his life. And so I think that because we saw the Red Wave travel strong to UCLA this past season, I think because it's the season opener, because it is USC, there will be a huge crowd there to support the Bulldogs. And I'd like to say win or lose, Tony, that there will be a very good crowd at Bulldog Stadium for Minnesota, simply because A, it's you know, it's the home opener, B, it's a Big Ten team, and C, it's a chance for Fresno State to get revenge on a team that beat them last season. They got revenge on Boise State, and the win that they had over Boise State was much more significant than the loss that they had to Boise State, because obviously it came in the conference championship and it came on the blue turf. But with Minnesota, they have a chance to do this season what they were unable to do last season. So I think a lot of people are really excited to see that. But you and I both know that if the Bulldogs go down to the Coliseum and lose that game, there are going to be, you know, probably a few thousand people that stay away. And I agree with you. I think the Dogs have a chance, you know, right now without knowing, you know, specifically who the quarterback is going to be. We suspect that, you know, it's Jorge Reyna's job to lose, but we don't know specifically who, you know, who's going to have that role or what they do to fill the personnel that they're losing. But let's say for argument's sake that Fresno State, you know, just finds its stride and, you know, has all cylinders firing going into the season, the Bulldogs could lose both of those games, or they could win both of those games. I think it's too early to tell, but I do like the prospect of seeing how this team will reload. I don't want to use the term rebuild because, you know, we thought that it would take a couple of years to rebuild once Tim DeRuiter was, you know, ousted and Jeff Tedford retired, but the turnaround was so quick that I think, you know, I think that the ability to get recruits and just to win right away has kind of put that bug in everybody's ear that, hey, Fresno State is here and Fresno State is here to stay. And how many times, Tony, did we talk about the comparison between football and wrestling, where we thought that wrestling was going to be great right away and football would be kind of slow to get back up there, but it would. Well, now we're seeing wrestling, you know, kind of, you know, make that climb as well. Beating Wyoming, a top 15 team, it's the second time this season in just, in just a few weeks, really, that Fresno State has beaten a top 25 program. To see Josh Hokett be a two-sport star in college, we rarely see that at the major Division I level. But this Fresno State team, and the wrestling team in particular, I believe only has one wrestler that is not from the Valley, which is mind-boggling that the Bulldogs are able to have this much success and do it from right here. But it's kind of the same thing you and I joked about this. I even joked with Coach Steiner just a couple of hours after he was hired and had his introductory press conference. I said, Coach, your entire recruiting budget could literally be a tank of gas, and I was being 100% serious. You go to Buchanan, you go to Clovis, you go to Selma, you go to Lemoore, you take the best wrestlers from those programs and then maybe sprinkle it in with a couple of other guys to fill out your roster, and they could seriously compete for conference and national championships. And I do seriously believe that, and we're starting to see that now as well. So this is a really good time for Fresno State athletics in the major sports. You know, men's basketball has a big game tonight against Utah State. Yep. Whether the Bulldogs get this win or not, you know, they're still right there at the top of the conference. So between men's basketball, football, and wrestling, you've got some sports that are really making some noise, not just regionally, but nationally.
Well, you and I are going to talk Bulldog basketball in just a second. The precursor, of course, to your visit was the lineup for tonight, and I will talk to Stephen Tremblay around 2:45 today about the game. You and I will get into the specifics in just a moment because it is an important game tonight. But you're bringing up, I think, a very interesting point that probably isn't discussed enough, and that is when you knew wrestling was coming back, you knew it was coming into a ready-made situation that you just cited, meaning you don't have to travel far. You have some of the great wrestling programs in the state. High school-wise, here, you also have some of the great junior college wrestling programs. All you have to do is go across town to find one, off of McKinley, right? You knew that the talent was here. You get the right coach, and Troy Steiner already, because of his time at Oregon State, understood this area and recruiting this area. So you figured that wrestling was going to hit the ground running. With football, you could not be sure because of how down the program had been from the end of 14 through 15 and 16. But again, you bring Tedford in. He knew so much about this area because he played and coached here that you have seen a rebuild of your football program so exponentially quick in regard to what a lot of people thought would happen that you tend to ignore the fact that wrestling has become the kind of program in a very tough conference we thought it would be. And, Andrew, we're back to the same thing about the venue and all of this. Wrestling has a great venue at Save Mart Center. It can be a great place for every sport at Fresno State. We know what Bulldog Stadium has been in the past. Is this the renaissance time across the board? You talk about where the programs are now as compared to even 24 months ago, which isn't that long ago. What about it? Is it going to see, as a single entity, the fan base, every program at Fresno State, batting ball, basketball, wrestling, are we going to see folks come out in a way? I brought this up about what I saw on the internet, and I know it was fill the facility day at the pit, but there were over 8,000 there for the women's basketball game Fresno State was in to play New Mexico. I know it was a promotion, but it was amazing to see the energy. Are we going to see the energy across the board now, irrespective of venue around Cedar and Barstow or Cedar and Shaw? Are we going to see that in every sport that has success now? Because it's been a flat period, attendance-wise, in many respects.
It's too early to tell, in my opinion. I know softball, for example, has a dedicated fan base of about 3,000 strong that shows up to every single game. You know, baseball, the crowds have really not been there over the years, but the people who are there are supporting, you know, and they're loud, and they've seen, you know, an influx of local talent as well, like we're talking about with wrestling, and certainly football under Coach Tedford. It's really tough to say, though, just because I mean, you know me, Tony. I've been here for 10 years, and I've seen the ups and downs of all these programs. I mean, I saw the football team kind of plateau before, you know, under Tim DeRuiter, they kind of rose for a little bit, and then they fell really hard before coming back. I mean, we've seen the basketball teams really not win much under, you know, under Steve Cleveland, and then Rodney Terry kind of, you know, took the program and had that little escalation to get it to where, you know, now Justin Hudson took over. And how many times have we said this, even without Bryson Williams, with the loss of, you know, of Eric Vila and some of the players that they didn't get the most out of, you know, right now they're one of the best teams in the conference. And who would have predicted that, you know, just a few months ago? So, I don't know if we're automatically going to see crowds that are flocking just to see Fresno State. It should be that way, and my philosophy, as you know, has always been, because, you know, I got this when I was in college. We saw at Syracuse, we saw crowds show up regardless of the opponent. They could be playing Cornell or SUNY Binghamton or UConn. It did not matter. The crowds were there to support the home team. And I do know that there are, you know, a number of fans in this valley that do care about the Bulldogs, all sports, but they don't necessarily show up for every single game. And that is a problem. I don't know how to solve it, but you know what? It's not the coaches and players' faults. I mean, really all they can do is go out and execute, and they can go out and win. And if they win, more and more fans will trickle in. It is unfortunate that they kind of have to go out and do that for the fans to show their support in person. But we know from experience that this valley, you know, there is so much Bulldog pride. And even if the people are not necessarily showing up in sellout type fashion, they're still, you know, going to the Bulldog shop and buying the gear and posting on message boards and watching the news and, you know, reading the Fresno Bee. I mean, they care about this program. So there's a lot of passion there. It just not it just hasn't yet materialized in sellout crowds. But you know what? The way that these coaches are performing and the way that there is excitement around these programs, especially the major ones, the revenue-driving ones at Fresno State, I think the university is in a good position right now for this year and for the future. And I talked to Terry Toomey about that, you know, going into 2019 at the end of 2018. I said, how do you capitalize on this? And he said, first and foremost, they want to get out there in the community and remind people that Fresno State is the Valley's team. So the attitude is there. Certainly the wins are coming, both on the field, on the court, et cetera. And I think maybe we are seeing that kind of resurgence, this renaissance. It's not quite there yet, but there's no reason why it couldn't be, because this, you know, this Valley is always reminiscing about the good old days. Well, you have good old days right now. So take advantage of it while you have it, because why not? You know, I mean, this is what you want to see. You want to see these teams compete for conference, you know, conference championships and national respect. It's there. It really is. And if the basketball team is able to somehow beat Nevada on the road at the end of this month, I mean, that team is now sixth in the country. They're 21-1. You know, Fresno State hung with them for a half here. If they can go on the road and win there, that is a program-changing win. So there's a lot on the line every time they – you know, every time they go on the court, every time they take the field in football or whatever, and we'll see what happens. But really all you can do is just, you know, support this team the best that you can and hope that the wins keep coming.
Well, again, 7:30 tonight, AT&T Sportsnet, for us, 6:45, a tip-off show with Paul and Q. Hope you go out today, March 10th. A very good Utah State team. We're going to talk about that in a second. Our good friend John had emailed in and said his only concern of that football schedule we talked about that was released yesterday is there's a month break between September 19 and the next home game on the 21st. You're right, John, in saying ideally you would like to be home in greater proximity, but you also have to keep in mind that you've got the transition to conference play and that resets with you on the road, and also you have those bye weeks because there's a couple in the first 5 weeks. So it's one of the reasons, but I do agree with you. Ideally, you don't want to be gone that long. But I'll tell you what, from a competitive standpoint, the fact you don't deal with big back-to-backs, you do have the Utah State game, I'm talking about on the road, you do have the Utah State game at home after you're in Hawaii, but you know, that should not, I at least hope not, become an issue. We will see about that. All right, Andrew, let's talk about tonight. You've got a Utah State team that definitely feels as though Fresno State stole one from them in Logan, because that was a game that the Aggies controlled most of the way. They had the students back for that night, and because of it, there was a great atmosphere there. Cato was terrific, and as a true freshman, he just keeps getting better and better every game. Was kidding around with Stephen Tremblay earlier today that maybe it'd be a good idea for him to leave and head to the NBA in a big hurry. Russ and I were talking about before it came up. I would prefer not to see Cato the next year, even though it brings quality to the league. Do you have a level of confidence that Fresno State beats a team that's 1-6 right now and is playing as well as anybody save for Nevada in the conference? You have that level of security about being at home for this one, or do you wonder tonight if maybe what happened against San Diego State, where you were down 20, you're able to come back, getting down to New Mexico, that you're begging for it to bite you in the rear end at home if you get off to another slow start?
You know, it's funny, Tony, because that was exactly what I was thinking of as you were asking me this question about the level of confidence and what Fresno State was able to do against San Diego State. They had no business winning that game against the Aztecs. They were dominated completely until they started their comeback. But you know what? They probably should not have beaten Utah State in Logan because they were down, I want to say, 12 in that game. And, you know, Braxton Huggins obviously had a career game, 33 points, and he hit that amazing three, you know, at the end. But they probably should not have won that game either. But am I confident that Fresno State is going to win tonight? Not necessarily. I would put my confidence level at less than 70%, somewhere between like 67 and 68%. Utah State is really good.
You are amazing. I'm sorry, but only you can give me that specific.
The reason why I'm saying that is because Fresno State has been playing really well lately, obviously, and two good wins. They've been playing really well on the road, especially in conference, but they have also struggled at home a little bit. We saw it again in that first portion of the game against San Diego State. They obviously lost to Utah Valley. They're lost to Nevada, you know, at home. I mean, the Nevada game is kind of an outlier because Nevada's just that much better than everybody else, you know, right now in the conference. But I'm saying that as a confidence level because I do think that Fresno State will win tonight, but I'm not completely confident that the Bulldogs will just because I know how good Utah State is. I know how much, you know, motivation can do for a team. I mean, the Aggies have not lost since that loss to Fresno State. Plus, you know, they want to make a statement on national television. They're trying to fight for second place. I mean, they want to get a better seed come tournament time, you know, in just a few short weeks here, you know, in a month, in March. So Utah State has some really good players. Fresno State has some really good players. I look for this to be a really good game. But correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, the last line is the Bulldogs are underdogs at home, right? So I think the national confidence is on Utah State in this game.
Anytime Fresno State is at the Save Mart Center, irrespective of opponent, and this even applied to the Nevada game, I always feel as though the Bulldogs have more than a puncher's chance. And look, we have talked over and over again prior to this year, Andrew, you're well aware of it. You said you've been here for 10 years, for goodness sake, that it was almost without fail the opportunity with the big win would get away. The Nevada game, you're playing a team that has exactly one loss, and what's odd about that loss, even though it was a blowout loss at the Pit, since that point, which was at the start of conference, New Mexico, who had beaten Air Force on the road at Clune Arena, which is a tough place to win this year, they have won only one time since that Nevada win. They beat Wyoming. The rest of the time, they've lost six games. Fresno State played Nevada credibly. Because of that, I believe the Bulldogs will win tonight. But I do understand the consternation about it because, one more time, Utah State has an advantage in the post with Keita. He's so difficult to deal with because we have seen a young man, and he is young, be able to recognize cross-court open players in a set. We've seen him be able to go to the low block, to go to the high post. He's a very versatile guy, and the Bulldogs have one guy in Nate Grimes who is capable of playing anybody tough, but if Nate gets in foul trouble or for some reason doesn't have the kind of game he's been having over and over again, Andrew, Fresno State has to rely on those guards to keep him in the game. And in Logan, it took a 33-point outburst by Braxton Huggins, and it took that, at least 27-footer there to win the game, and they almost lost it anyway because we talked on that last possession with 5 seconds to go. You had an opportunity on that air ball that almost turned in to the winning bucket. That's how close that game was. So anytime you're facing a team that has this kind of size, yeah, I understand where you can say Utah State may win the game tonight. I don't think they will, and I do think that these two teams are the only ones capable of knocking Nevada off in March. I don't think anybody else in the conference is no knock against UNLV. They've been wonderful hosts, as you know, because they haven't gotten away with their home floor advantage for the tournament. I don't think there's anybody but the two teams playing tonight that have enough in March to beat Nevada. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, to be honest, Tony, I don't think either of those teams is going to beat Nevada in March. I think Nevada's just in another world right now. I think that team was humbled with that blowout loss to New Mexico. And so I don't see Nevada losing again until the NCAA tournament. I think this Wolfpack team is arguably one of the best teams, probably the best team that the Mountain West Conference has ever seen. And I'll even include the WAC days when those Nevada teams with, we've talked about it before, Nick Bozikas, Mo Charlo, Ramon Sessions. I mean, those teams that went, I think, 2 out of 3 years to the Sweet 16. I mean, Nevada's just on another level right now. But, yes, I mean, you never know what can happen in March, and I do agree with you that if somebody's going to knock Nevada off, it's probably going to be Fresno State or Utah State. I just don't see Nevada losing. I see Nevada, getting to the tournament, and so the hope is that, obviously, if Fresno State can pull off, several wins, then maybe the Bulldogs will be considered for an at-large. I mean, that loss to Colorado State is really going to hurt their at-large hopes, but they're not out of it completely yet. But a win tonight over Utah State would certainly help their resume. So I agree with you. I think that Fresno State is the better team between the Bulldogs and the Bulldogs and the Aggies. But I can see a scenario where Utah State wins tonight. You can't count on 33 points from Braxton Huggins. You can't count on 19 rebounds from Nate Grimes. I mean, he was a beast around the boards against New Mexico. I was trying to follow that game along while I was in Atlanta.
Right.
But it's just it's tough to predict, how this Fresno State team is going to start, because we've seen them start slow in some games and kind of have to, crawl and creep their way back into it. So hopefully that's not the case and the Bulldogs get off to a strong start and just kind of coast after that. But Utah State is really good. We knew the Aggies were good when the Bulldogs went to Logan earlier this season. And we'll find out, in just a few short hours, which is the better team. But this would be a huge win for the Bulldogs, not simply because Utah State is a formidable opponent, but also they would have swept the season series. And that means if there's any type of a tiebreaker, it goes to the Bulldogs. So a lot at stake tonight, and I expect a good game.
Well, I'll tell you what, the thing about the tiebreak, I believe these will be seeds 2 and 3 going into the tournament. Now, you might have UNLV or somebody jump in and say something about that. But if you're 2 or 3, it doesn't make any difference. But a win tonight helps you in case you get – I mean, look, let's be straight about it. You win tonight, if somehow you upset Nevada at the Lawler Center and go on that kind of run late, you might be talking about an opportunity at large. It probably isn't going to happen. But I don't think that 2 or 3 is on anybody's mind, because it is the same part of the bracket. As much as if you're Fresno State, you want to prove that you're better than this team for sure. We were talking yesterday, Paul and I were, about the stats. If you would have looked at the stat sheet, Andrew, and not looked at the three-point shooting, and again, the Bulldogs only put 4 down from outside the arc and still able to win because New Mexico shot the ball horribly on Saturday night. Now, the Bulldog defense had something to do with that. But the game in Logan, you had a free throw shooting day of 3 for 6, which you didn't get a lot of throws, but it's awful that you were 3 of 6. You only shot 45% from the field. Almost everything else looked like a loss, except the Bulldogs were 15 of 31 from 3, and a lot of that had to do with Huggins, who was 8 of 13, and Blackwell, who was 3 of 5 in the game. You look at Utah State, they were only 6 of 20. So, Andrew, right there, if you're Fresno State, you had a 27-point advantage from the arc. You can't count on that happening again, and I can guarantee you that Utah State is going to try to take that 3 away. And that's why my question to you is, Nate Grimes is the best player on this team. I love Deshaun Taylor. I thought going into the year, and Deshaun is a critical part of the team, that he was going to be the best player in the team. In my opinion, Nate Grimes is the best and most important player. But, Andrew, what kind of game does Nate have to have offensively, never mind the rebounding and the defense, to keep Fresno State right there? Because you can't count, even at home, going 15 or 30 or thereabouts from 3. What does Nate have to have on the board, in your opinion, points-wise tonight?
Well, first let me address your opinion of him being the best player on the team. I thought going into the season that Deshaun Taylor was going to continue to be the best player on the Bulldogs, because he was last year. He was obviously preseason All Mountain West. But when Deshaun Taylor went down with his elbow injury, other guys stepped up, and the train kept rolling. The Bulldogs were winning with Braxton Huggins and Noah Blackwell. But I think that Nate Grimes might be the most valuable player on this team. I don't know if he is necessarily the best player, because I do still think that Braxton Huggins has that explosive, ness to him that when he's on, he's on. And we certainly saw it against Utah State. You know that the Aggies are well aware of what he did to them in Logan. But to answer your question specifically about Nate Grimes, I think he has to have a great game on the glass. I think he's got to have, you know, somewhere between 12 and 15 rebounds minimum, for Fresno State to really have a presence, inside, shot blocking ability, would certainly help on offense. If he can grab a couple of offensive rebounds, that would be great too. But I think from a points standpoint, he doesn't have to be the leading scorer, but if he can score in double figures, then, you have a real threat. I mean, this sounds kind of obvious to say, but you have a real threat in the paint, and that means that Utah State would have to converge on him, which might leave some guys open to be able to shoot. Now, Fresno State would have to be able to knock down those shots, but there are a lot of shooters on this team, including Sam Bittner, who, likes to sometimes camp out behind the three-point line, but he can make the shots, especially if he's open. And between, the other guards that they have, they've got guys, who can make plays. So I think it might take another double-double effort from Nate Grimes for Fresno State to really have a strong hold on this game. But I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities, because he's playing so well right now that his confidence has to be there. And, the confidence in him from Coach Hudson is there, and the trust from his teammates is there. So if Nate Grimes, in my opinion, scores 12 points and has, 13 or 14 rebounds, then I think Fresno State will be in a very good position to win this game.
19-19 boards and points the other night, but the last time in, speaking of 19, one of the reasons that they had to have the 15 three-pointers, Nate only played 19 minutes. He had four fouls. That's been an issue. He had an 8-rebound, 9-point game. They're going to need more than that from him. And as I let you go, Andrew, I would say this. Both Deshaun Taylor and Braxton Huggins probably have better careers in front of them as far as opportunities professionally. Nate, to go to the next level, is going to be a bit undersized, but right now there's nobody that I would rather have on the floor for the reasons you cited. There is depth in the backcourt for Fresno State. They're a better team when Huggins, Blackwell, and Taylor are all together and able to play, no doubt. But without Grimes down low, they just do not have anybody with that skill set. They have guys that can do certain things, but they don't have anybody that embodies all they need down low the way Nate does. And so in order for them to win tonight and to go anywhere for the rest of the season, it's going to take Nate Grimes being out there eligible without foul issue. So we'll see what happens tonight. Andrew, I'm glad you're back, my friend. We will tee it up on a regular basis once again. Have a great end of the week, and we'll see how it plays out. Always watching on 24 and 47, and the Insider, of course, back at 6 o'clock on Sundays, right?
Yes. We were preempted. Well, I shouldn't say preempted. We kind of, quote-unquote, took ourselves out of the mix, because on Super Bowl Sunday, with the game being on 47, obviously, not only did we want to watch – not only did we want everyone to watch 47, which is also, our station as
right.
well, but it didn't make any sense to put any type of sports programming on opposite, the big game. Because if we did a live show, then everyone would DVR it and watch it at their own convenience. But content-wise, it didn't make sense to go up against the Super Bowl. Plus, I wasn't here. I was in Atlanta, so I wouldn't have even been around to host it anyway. So long story short with this, yes, we are back to 6 p.m. This Sunday through at least the first Sunday in September until the NBC programming reverts back to Sunday Night Football. So for the next several months, 6 p.m. on Sundays on KC24, and I am back this Sunday.
Look forward to it, my friend. Take care. Have a great week. We'll see you.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Take care.
All right. Our good friend Andrew Marr will take a break. Come back with Stephen Tremblay. Talk a little bit more about not only tonight, but the digital offerings for the week for Fresno State all across the board sports-wise. Take a break on 50,000 Watt 940 ESPN. Hi, buddy. Welcome back to 250 here until 3 o'clock. Actually, here until 56:50. If you want to be precise, then we'll take the break. Top of the hour, Sports Center, and then CG will come up and Chris will bring you to 6 o'clock, and then at 6:45 tonight it'll be Paul and Coach Q. They'll have the tip-off show at that time, the actual pre itself at 7 o'clock, and the tip at SMC just after 7:30. Really good Utah State team in. They've won six straight, played that one-point game that, like I said, they feel they should have won at home, and the Bulldogs were happy to get out of there with a W. We'll try it again tonight And AT&T Sportsnet available to some people, not to everybody. So one more time, the best suggestion, head on out to Save Mart Center tonight. Beauty of basketball, even with a 7:30 start, which isn't that late. We have later starts when they're at 8. You're done by 9:30 or so and back home on a weeknight by 10. So I hope both the general public and the students are out there tonight. To talk about that, our good friend, the director of digital media and new media at Fresno State, and also the primary contact from media relations for men's basketball, is Stephen Tremblay. Stephen, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Stephen. About tonight, what are the tickets that we're looking at price-wise? What's the best opportunity?
Well, our best option is it's a $15 ticket. We've got some great seats in the house. It starts at $15. If you're a Fresno State student, as always, you get a free ticket, and you can bring one student guest for free as well. That student entrance is at the northeast entrance to the Save Mart Center. But we love to see everybody come out. It's going to be a really big showdown between Utah State and Fresno State. These two teams, as you probably mentioned, have played a really, really good game earlier this year up in Logan at the Bulldogs 1, led for just the last 5 seconds of the game. So we need everybody in the Save Mart Center here tonight.
Yeah, we definitely want to see the kind of crowd, and you were there, of course, because you travel with the team in Logan, and the students were back because they were back in session, which made a huge difference. For Fresno State, obviously, but they've been back since the end of January. But the battle to get everybody out there, we've seen it happen in pretty good fashion on Saturdays, particularly early, but even 7 o'clock. Stephen, the issues of the weeknights, nothing you can do about 7:30 start. It's not that late. Buzz around
campus. It's not like 9 o'clock local that New Mexico has out in Albuquerque tonight.
That's correct. And what we used to see with Big Monday, you know, people used to talk about the great opportunity with Big Monday on the mothership at ESPN. It was great. It was terrific to have it. But the problem was it was a 9 o'clock start here, and for Utah, when they were in the league, it was 10 o'clock. So 7:30 is not that bad a deal. But I will ask you about the crowds. You have seen some really good ones, the Nevada crowd, and even with San Diego State, people came out.
San Diego State and the last one against New Mexico were good, too.
Right, and we had a Saturday for that one. Of course, San Diego State was a weeknight. Is it building? I mean, right now, are the people around Fresno State, not the community in general, but the students and the people around the university, a little bit of a buzz going on about this team, which is really overachieving at the moment?
It sure is feeling like there's just a great support that we've seen throughout the years when you look back 10, 20 years in the Red Wave, and we're going to continue to have to work at it. And I mean, we saw a great one the last time that we had a midweek game. It was Greek night for our Fresno State campus for the fraternities and sororities. But we expect to see another good turnout tonight, and we do have some. I mean, with it being on a Tuesday, we might be able to see some of our other athletic teams, which is what we saw from the San Diego State game as well, with it early enough in the week. I mean, softball, we'll see how late they're able to stay. They've got an early flight tomorrow, but there's some other teams across the department that have made it a point to support their fellow student-athletes, and we've enjoyed seeing that, as well as the general student, as well as fans across the San Joaquin Valley.
Of course, for Fresno State, it's been a lot of home and then road. We saw a couple in a row now with this one, but then it's back on the road as they've got to go to the Thomas and Mack, the first of two visits there. This one, the regular season, the ninth. What about the offerings the rest of the week? Any sport as far as the digital you might find either through Fresno State or through the Mountain West? Where are we at?
Well, tomorrow night, women's basketball on the road in Logan. That's a 6 o'clock start. Mountain West Network produced local by the Utah State staff, and then our staff will be producing women's water polo on Friday night. That's a 5:30 start as Bulldogs' official home opener against crosstown rival Fresno Pacific. Again, that's 5:30, free to come out to the Aquatic Center. You can watch on the Mountain West Network. Also on the Mountain West Network is women's basketball on Saturday, 2 o'clock. That's the UNLV coming to the Save Mart Center, and then Massachusetts Lowell at Fresno State for women's lacrosse, also on Mountain West Network this year. So, as I mentioned in previous weeks, unlike last year where we partnered with Flow Sports for some of our non-Mountain West sports, this year we're trying to loop in as many as we can to the Mountain West Network.
In the last 30 seconds, talking yesterday, of course, baseball will have the alumni game coming up this weekend, and then Utah Valley in for games that count in a week plus. But we have 3 weeks of tournament play for softball. Any availability here right out of the chute?
Softball, on our end, we're going to be sending a videographer. Andrew Worth from our staff will be covering those events, so you'll want to be stay tuned for our social media and GoBulldogs.com. And then for softball, I just like follow at Fresno State SB. They're the best. That's the best resource to be able to tap into live streams that would potentially be coming from Hawaii.
Sure. Steve, appreciate it. Have a great one tonight and a terrific week. I'll be in touch, my friend. Take care.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, guys, Stephen Tremblay, Fresno State and Utah State tonight. Again, 6:45, the tip-off show with Paul and Q. 7:30, the tip. CG will talk about that coming up, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. This is KFIG Fresno.